On behalf of Leinberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler. I'd like to discuss the news release that came out last Friday regarding Form 8939 and the 1022 election, the election not to pay estate tax in 2010. We'll also review Notice 2011-66, which provides a very broad overview of the rules surrounding the 1022 election and, more importantly, the generation skipping transfer tax rules that we're all going to have to work with. The IRS also issued a revenue proc when they issued this. So you have basically three things. You have the news release, which is very small and not very telling. Then you have Notice 2011-66, and finally Revenue Proc 2011-41, all very important, and they tie together. In this podcast, I'm primarily going to spend our time together on Notice 2011-66, and then we'll come back with another podcast addressing in depth the Revenue Proc. We will also try to release some examples looking at these regulations of how the different carryover basis rules are going to apply and addressing how losses will be allowed to increase basis, addressing community property, and addressing related issues. Now, Notice 2011-66. It starts with providing the time and manner in which the executor of an estate who died in 2010 can elect out of the estate tax. So, again, we do have to elect out of the estate tax. That's something we fully expected. The notice also talks about how a donor may elect out of the automatic allocation of GST exemption for direct skips. This is very important with the opportunities that existed at the end of last year. For example, I represent a CPA on the West Coast who failed to make a timely election to elect out of the allocation of the GST exemption, and this individual that I'm helping actually gets relief out of this because we'll talk about it more in depth, but his transfer was made in August of 2010, and the government turned everything upside down in a good way and said that any direct skip made before December 17, 2010, automatically elects out of the allocation of GST exemption, just what the opposite of what would happen in 2009 or what would happen in 2011. Now, the due dates for the return for 8939 is going to be November 15, 2011. And basically the due dates for returns for the taxable year ending December 31st, 2010 to allocate or opt out of GST exemption will depend on whether you're working with an estate tax or a gift tax return. Okay, so now this notice applies both to executors and donors. The notice also references Rev Proc 2011-41, which provides a safe harbor with regard to the interpretation and application of Section 1022. I'm not sure what exactly that means. I've read through the safe harbor Rev Proc a few times here, and it's not jumping out at me quite yet what the safe harbor does for us. When, for example, a most recent corollary is when the IRS addressed the Madoff issues, the safe harbor truly gave us some relief. Now, if an 8939 and Form 706 are both filed, the IRS is going to require that each of the persons that filed those returns must collectively sign and file a restated 706 or 8939 within 90 days. And if no correction is made, the IRS is going to determine what to do. This will be a facts and circumstances test, including the fair market value of the property and the economic impact of the 1022 election. Evidently, what the IRS is anticipating is that there will be some turf battles on whether you should elect in, you know, out of the estate tax or whether you should pay a little bit of estate tax and receive a full step-up in basis, turf battles between heirs, turf battles between perhaps co-executors. So the IRS is trying to set this up so that there's a resolution procedure within this notice. Now, for purposes of this notice, executor is defined under Section 2203, and the IRS will only accept forms from executors, so we're going to have to look at our definitions to make sure we have that right. If the IRS receives multiple forms from similar people, the 90-day procedure will continue to occur. And if they cannot agree, if you have more than one executor and they cannot agree, then the IRS will allocate using its discretion. The notice provides that this allocation might be made on a pro rata basis based on the amount of unrecognized appreciation. So that might be very telling to fiduciaries across the country and to state courts that have to arbitrate these. Maybe they'll use this notice and say, you know, we're just going to allocate based on unrecognized appreciation. Now, the executor must report and value all items of property other than cash and items of IRD. This is on Form 8939. The executor must also include property acquired by the decedent within 3 years of his death. The exception would be property transferred from a person's spouse. Now, there are special rules for both community property and special rules for non-residents, and I am not going to attempt to cover those in today's overview. Within 30 days of filing Form 8939, the executor must provide a statement to each person acquiring property. This is nothing new. We expected this. And the time for filing the 8939 is November 15th, 2011. Now, there are no extensions available. I fully expect both the ABA and the AICPA to work behind the scenes to try to get the IRS to offer us some extensions. In all likelihood, Form 8939 will not be available until, quote, early this fall, according to the IRS. And if it's not available to early this fall, that creates some problems. It's going to create a two-month window of opportunity for all of us to file these returns. Now, very important, the notice specifically states that there'll be no protective elections or conditional Forms 8939. So think about this. You represent this lady that died. She owned 80 acres of land on the edge of town, and different appraisers are telling you different values. Not only do you have a hard time with what you're going to do, if you guys guess wrong, what's going to happen is the IRS is not going to allow you to have a protective or conditional election. Now, I've reached out to some of my tax attorney friends, people that are very good on the practice and procedure, and I've asked them whether we might be able to do protective or conditional elections as a matter of law, or if that's simply within the grace of the Internal Revenue Service. And that's something we're going to have to figure out fairly quickly. There'll be about 8,000 of these returns. I have to imagine a fair amount of those returns will have issues that would require a conditional or a protective election, and we have to get to the bottom of that. Now, there are going to be provisions for amending returns, filing for spousal basis increase, and those returns I'm going to try to lay out in some examples. But if you do amend an 8939, it must be filed no more than 90 days after the date of distribution of the spousal property. So, again, what they're going to do is let you amend the return if there is a spousal basis increase and you change the property you want to allocate to. And that has to be done within 90 days after the date of distribution of qualified spousal property. Second, if the executor files a timely return, the executor may file an amended Form 8939 using 9100 relief on or before May 15, 2012, except to make or revoke a Section 1022 election. So if you filed this return timely and then you didn't like some of your basis allocations, you should be able to fix those using 9100 relief. It's not clear exactly how you would file the 9100 relief, but you have to do that by May 15, 2012. You really want to read these notices carefully. It's going to take you a couple hours to work through them. Third, an executor may apply for relief to supplement a timely filed 8939 under 9100-3, and that request for relief is limited to allocating any basis increase that was not previously allocated. So maybe if you filed the return and then you came up with an additional loss that you had missed, you'd be able to file an amended return. So, if, for example, you discover additional property or the IRS adjusts the fair market value of property, then you'd be able to potentially adjust that. There'll be no relief available under the notice to reduce the basis allocations. Fourth, you can also obtain 9100 relief in the form of an extension of time in which to file Form 8939 to make the election. Interestingly enough, I think what this is addressing is if some party does not make the election in a timely manner, the service appears willing to give you some relief. However, time lapsed is going to be a very important consideration here. I don't think they're going to let you come back 5 years from now and say, you know, I messed this up. I forgot to make my election. I think it's going to be something much more timely. Now, on the GST perspective, the ruling makes it very clear that the GST applies in 2010, but the rate is zero. And they also make clear that the only way to achieve a zero inclusion ratio for purposes of the transfer is to make a timely allocation of GST exemption. Schedule R of Form 8939 will allow us to allocate GST exemption. So that's a good thing that they addressed on Schedule R, and that there will not be a separate 706 filing required. Now, on inter vivos direct skips, the donor, so I make a direct gift to my grandchildren in trust. The donor on a timely filed 709 can elect out of the automatic allocation of GST exemption to a direct skip two ways. One, on a timely filed 709, or two, by following the automatic election out on page 11 of this procedure, or basically they say, if you made a direct skip gift before December 17th, 2010, then you're going to be deemed not to allocate GST exemption to that transfer. This makes good sense, because no one in their right mind would waste their GST exemption on such a transfer, because even though it's subject to the generation skipping transfer tax, the rate is zero. So that's something that's out there that you're going to want to address. Now, the filing deadlines, basically, if you have a return here, it's going to be due November 15, 2011. From a GST perspective, if you have direct skip gifts and you haven't filed a timely 709, you might have some relief if those gifts were made between January 1st, 2010 and December 16th, 2010. However, for gifts made between December 17, 2010 and December 31st, 2010, there will be no relief available in the form of an automatic election out of allocation. So those are going to be difficult things. The service did indicate, however, that 9100 relief would be possible. And they're also very clear that the GST rules apply strictly with regard to Chapter 2600, not with regard to whether or not you made the 1022 election. We've covered a lot of ground. This is very complicated information, much of it of first impression. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler, and we want to thank you for joining us.